Hola, soy Judith Ruiz Branch, and this is ¿Qué pasa Midwest?
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 Telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland.
Sana, sana, si no sanas hoy, quizás ya no habrá mañana.
Queremos decir gracias to Toyota Motor Manufacturing Indiana Incorporated for making season 5 of ¿Qué pasa Midwest? Possible. Esta historia viene de nuestro contributor Carly Goldenberg, who habló con personas helping to seek justice for a predominantly Mexican neighborhood in Chicago after a coal power plant demolition imploded, spreading a cloud of dust over the community during Illinois' stay-at-home order. Now, for this episode, Carly had to speak to quite a few people in order to get the full extent of the story. She habló con la activista Kim Wasserman, who has been fighting for justicia para la comunidad de Little Village. También habló con Antonia Quiñones Peña, un residente de La Villita, sobre su experiencia y sus esperanzas para el futuro. And finally, she talked to John Hazinski, un abogado, sobre la relación entre environmental justice, physical and mental health, and the effect the demolition has had on the Little Village community. Escucha.
On the morning of April 11th at about 8 a.m., the smokestack of the former Crawford Generating Station was imploded in Chicago's Little Village community by Hilco. It was Easter weekend, and Illinois was still under its stay-at-home order at the time of the implosion. Antonia Quiñones Peña, a former caretaker y un residente de La Villita por más de dos décadas, was recovering from coronavirus en su casa cuando ocurrió la implosión.
Cuando de pronto se oyó un ruido muy, muy, muy fuerte, que me sobresalté de la cama a correr a la cocina, pues a checar la estufa, porque ese es lo primero que pensé, ¿qué pasó? Ese ruido tan fuerte. Lo demás todo estaba bien. Y en eso también mi esposo se levantó y vimos, no, la estufa no fue. Entonces en ese momento se oye la siguiente explosión, que fue cosa de unos minutos, unos segundos, cuando se oye otra explosión fuertísima. Y es cuando miramos, todavía aún miramos, cuando el muro de la chimenea de Hilco venía cayendo. Lo alcanzamos a ver por la ventana de la cocina. Nos quedamos, oh, wow, ¿qué fue esto? Y cuando al momento de que este muro va bajando, se oye el golpe cuando cayó al suelo y se miró la nube de polvo que estaba levantando al caer ese detalle al suelo.
Hilco says it had a dust mitigation plan. Dust and particulate matter from the implosion spread across largely residential areas of Little Village, infiltrating homes, the air, and anything in its path.
Entonces, esa nube de polvo enseguida, en segundos, se expandió. Se extendió tan fuerte que llegó acá con nosotros, oscureció el cielo, les diré. Se puso tan espeso, tan oscuro, que no se miraba para afuera, no se alcanzaba a ver de aquí a donde está, aquí a la calle, a donde está estacionado los carros. Los árboles no se alcanzaban a mirar por el espesor de ese polvo tan fuerte. Entonces, fue sorpresivo, fue una sorpresa muy grande y muy desagradable, porque nadie nos había hecho un comentario sobre lo que iba a pasar. Nadie avisó.
We did what we could from that Thursday night, if you will, until Friday night. When Friday night I received a text that basically was like, look, there's nothing we can do, it's going to happen. And at that point, it just, you know, we knew that there was nothing we could do. And sure enough, the next morning, the implosion happened and then the dust cloud.
That was Kim Wasserman, the executive director of the Little Village Environmental Justice Organization, O El Vejo. She has worked with El Vejo since 1998. Wasserman was the 2013 Goldman Prize recipient for North America, and she is the chair of the Illinois Commission on Environmental Justice. Wasserman dijo que existe una conexión entre la justicia medioambiental y el movimiento de Black Lives Matter, que las personas están hartas con el estado de cosas.
There just comes a point where, yeah, just ask yourself, like, when does it stop? You know what I mean? And so I think that between the implosion and ironically, too, I think the uprisings that have been happening around policing in the United States, I feel like they've both been at these boiling points where the pot has boiled over.
Wasserman wants developers to consider how they will engage with and impact the communities they enter.
It's important for us, for people to understand that, yes, in these times of despair, this is the time to be fighting for what our communities genuinely deserve and how our communities should be treated in the sense of development and jobs. Because if not, now when? I want a company that's going to come in and say, you know what, you do have a lot of undocumented workers in your community. How do we hire them on? Right? I do want a company that's going to come in and ask themselves, is this really the right development for this neighborhood, or should we be looking for something else?
In a statement in response to the implosion's impact, Hilco said in part, "We understand, apologize to, and sympathize with the Little Village community. The health, safety, and welfare of the local community is a paramount concern to Hilco Redevelopment Partners as we work toward completing this project. La salud, seguridad, y bienestar de la comunidad local es la principal preocupación para Hilco Redevelopment Partners mientras trabajamos para terminar ese proyecto." Despite protests from community members and the ongoing pandemic, the demolition continues at the site. During a webinar on ProPublica's COVID-19 took Black Lives First, it didn't have to, Dr. David Ansel spoke to the inequality that is inherent in coronavirus treatment and response.
That's not a disparity. A disparity is a difference. It's an inequity. And the difference between a disparity and an inequity is that inequity is inherently unjust. So inequality is an affliction all by itself. It's the epidemic of inequality that COVID exposes. We have a particularly toxic form of capitalism here that values property over people and has from the beginning of time.
Similarly, John Hazinski says that the implosion and subsequent demolition is not an isolated incident. John Hazinski is an attorney and justice fellow with Lovey & Lovey in Chicago. Lovey & Lovey has filed a class action lawsuit against Hilco and other related organizations on behalf of affected Little Village residents.
Historical patterns of discrimination repeating themselves. An instance of discrimination from 20 years ago, from 10 years ago, from 15 years ago, is not an isolated act. It represents an ideology of who matters and who doesn't when it comes to making a profit. And these companies look at a community like Little Village, see that it's majority Latino, and see an opportunity to take advantage.
Though time has passed, los efectos mentales continúan.
I think the psychological effects of the demolition are ongoing. The fact that we don't know exactly what was emitted into the air, we don't know what kind of long-term health effects it can have, mean that people in the community are still fearful that what they breathed in on that day and in subsequent days could have real long-term health implications for them. And of course, this is a time in the world where fear and anxiety is already ramped up, especially when it comes to people's health, people's breathing. Add that on top of the fact that Little Village, you know, as a result of a lengthy period of environmental racism on the part of companies doing business in Little Village, have caused disproportionately high rates of respiratory illness, including asthma. You know, I speak with clients of ours who have children who suffer severe asthma, and they're still terrified about the consequences of this. And unfortunately, I think it'll be a while before we fully come to understand the ramifications of this demolition. That kind of trauma does not go away immediately.
Though it is already late August and months have passed since the implosion, Antonia still smells what she did on the day of the implosion in April.
Lo peor de todo esto es que aún no para. No para estos olores tan desagradables. Ya tenemos, pues estamos a cuanto agosto y esto sigue.
In particular, Hazinski says that personas sin papeles are disproportionately affected by the barriers to legal representation.
In a majority Latino community like Little Village, a big swath of the community members are undocumented, which means often there's a fear about participating in the legal system in any way. I think for many people, it's a really significant barrier to standing up for your rights. And it's one aspect of a legacy of environmental racism that undocumented people are simply less likely to take advantage of the legal system, even when their rights have been violated and even when they're entitled to relief.
Kaczynski says that part of the fear comes from the notion that demolition and dust clouds could happen again.
The thing that I hear the most from talking to community members is that they want this to stop. They want this to never happen again. And again, that's partly because they have a really a well-founded fear that this will happen again unless something dramatic occurs, because it is part of a longer legacy of environmental racism.
For Kaczynski, justice for La Villita looks like accountability.
Justice in this case, I think, would be holding these folks to account, telling these companies that the people who live in Little Village have value and they cannot be exploited or taken advantage of for profit without there being consequences.
For Wasserman, justice looks like self-determination and a place for community members to grow. Wasserman hopes to repurpose the power plant into a multi-level structure para la comunidad de La Villita, con un mercado en el primer piso, cocinas comerciales y espacio para cultivar y espacio para energía solar.
So for us, justice looks like, how do you take a space of injustice and turn it into justice? And taking a coal power plant that killed 40 people prematurely a year in our neighborhood and turning it into a warehouse, it's pretty much going to do the same, is not justice. Justice looks like self-determination. Justice looks like our community having a voice into what happens in that property. So for us, justice is, you know, we've spent 20 years asking our neighborhood, what do they want to see? What is the type of growth and development they want to see in our neighborhood? And what we have found is that food is at the heart of that. We wanted to reuse the building that was the coal power plant. Those buildings are built to last. Those buildings are built to stay around forever. And that's why the deconstruction of it is so important. That's why it's so hard for them. Fought to shut that thing down and wanted to see something that would help the community thrive. And so for our neighborhood, that looks like indoor growing. Or like people want massive space to do indoor growing.
For Antonia, justice looks like more outdoor space to walk around in. Con aire puro y más senderos.
Tener espacio para caminar, ir a hacer sus compras o mirar o lo que usted quiera, pero caminar y respirar otro aire de que esto que nos están poniendo aquí enfrente, porque está enfrente aquí de nosotros, parques, nos hacen falta senderos, caminos para, bueno, a mí me queda un poquito lejos el parque, pero sí me voy, sí me he ido, tan solo por tener una actividad de caminar al menos. Pero si estuviera más cerca, pues yo digo, también nos daría más, más ganas de salir y ver pues algo bonito, algo bueno, dejándonos de estos detalles tan fuertes por los que estamos pasando. Un sendero para caminar nos encantaría, aquí donde se pudiera. No más compañías contaminantes.
Looking to the future, Wasserman says that solution making on the city of Chicago's part must include the community.
I can appreciate that the city thinks that internally they can handle it, right? That they don't need to talk to people. But I fundamentally think that that's one of the biggest problems they have.
Wasserman points out that the connection between people of color and environmental justice is bigger than Chicago itself.
This issue is symbolic of what's happening across the city and across the country, quite honestly, and how many, particularly people of color and Latinos, don't have a voice into what happens in their neighborhood. And it's just so important for us to always remind folks that they are empowered, that regardless of, you know, their status, their language, their education level, their job, they fundamentally have a human right to be on this planet and to be respected and to be given the things that they deserve, like clean air, clean land, and clean water.
Que tienen poder independiente de su estatus, su lengua, su nivel de educación, su empleo, ellos fundamentalmente tienen el derecho a vivir en esta planeta para ser respetado y para tener las cosas que merecen, como aire puro, tierra limpia y agua limpia.
Cuando tus heridas se hagan ríos, me bañaré en tus aguas.
Queremos decir gracias to Toyota Motor Manufacturing Indiana Incorporated for support in making this season possible. Our song for this episode is Sana Sana by Alejandro y María Laura, a song that reimagines the healing song of Sana Sana and applies it to the environment's natural resources. Gracias por escucharnos. I'm Carly Goldenberg, and this is Que Pasa Mi West, telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland.